entered access code 648568.
This is the third week of this lesson. It's been very wonderful. Every time we have Bible study, it just seems like the Lord is just...
It's better and better.
Yes, it gets better and better. And and I just love it, and it's nourishment to my soul and in the inner man.
Yeah.
And so it's brought a lot of light also. And understanding that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit where God dwells. And all the work that God is doing is in the inside.
Yes, it is.
It's in the inside. So a part of this lesson now is about tribulation. About tribulation, that we glory in tribulation and Hebrews 13:13 says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach.
What page are you on?
No, I just went back up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so so I know we're on 15, page 15. And so let's get into the lesson. 2 Timothy 2:12. 2 Timothy 2:12. Mom, can you read, please?
Okay. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. 1 Peter 5:9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The same sufferings are being experienced by all your brothers in the world. 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Indeed, all who delight in piety and are determined to live a devoted and godly life in Christ Jesus will meet with persecution. Wow.
So stop there. It says, yea, and all that will live godly
in Christ
Jesus,
wow,
shall have a good time also.
No, shall suffer persecution.
Now, we're going to suffer persecution.
So if you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And 1 Peter 5:9 says what? That accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, the same affliction.
That's right.
The same affliction. So we don't suffer alone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes we think that, a lot of times we think that, man, we feel that we're the only ones mm-hmm. that's going through some suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you begin to talk to others and fellowship, you understand,
yeah,
man, I'm not we're in the same boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we may suffer a little differently than others, but guess what? We're all suffering in some kind of way.
Yeah.
And we may get persecuted
in one way, form, or fashion.
But we're still going to get persecuted if you live in Christ Jesus a godly life. And that's then enough to do the right thing. So when you still do the right thing, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get persecuted for it.
Yeah.
For doing the right thing.
That's what it says.
Yeah, for doing the right thing.
Okay, go on. Hebrews 12:11.
Now, no chastising for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. For the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems grievous and painful. But afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Oh, my goodness.
Trained by it.
Who have been trained.
Trained by what?
By chastising. Chastisement.
Chastisement. Now, no chastisement. For the present seemeth to be joyous. That's true. But grievous. Yes, that's
correct.
True. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceful. There it is.
The peaceful fruit of righteousness.
There it is. Unto them which are exercised thereby, or should I say, or who been trained by it.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Wow.
Trained by chastisement.
Oh.
Yeah.
Trained. And so we have to understand right there, Tawana, could you look up chastisement there in the Greek? If you have a chance. suffer and not to be ashamed and know that we're not alone in our suffering, that our brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering also. We're going to face persecution if we live godly.
And we also must realize this is that when we're suffering, our brothers and sisters are suffering too. It may be a different way, but they're still suffering in some way.
Yes, yeah.
That we're not alone in this.
No, we're not alone.
Yeah, we're
okay. Okay, we read that. The little paragraph underneath, that was the scripture. Matthew 23. Matthew 5:10.
Blessed are, you want me to read that?
Yes.
Okay. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
For theirs.
After you have suffered sufficiently, Christ tests you. Passing the test, you receive a reward. You receive as a reward the next measure of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, self-control, gentleness, etc. This occurs having put to death the great majority of the sinful nature by aid of the Spirit, until you are led by the Spirit and assured of salvation to come with the return of Christ. Here we are in Paul's second state of Christ. It is no longer I who do the deed, but the sin which is at home in me and has possession of me. Romans 7:17. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And the sin gets less and less as we await the return of Christ in his glory with his kingdom. This is further discussed as the interim reward. This is the step where you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The earnest deposit of more to come. You will hear him tell you, an open door that has been placed before you that no one can shut, and you are in Christ. As you remain obedient to the words you hear Christ speak to you, you will later be led out of darkness to light. The morning star rises, comes into being in your heart. 2 Peter 1:19.
Wow, that's beautiful. So we know there's a process.
There's a process.
And when we are obedient to the suffering, or in the suffering, we are obedient. And we reflect a glory God in our suffering. And do anybody know what that means, to glorify God as we suffer? How do you glorify God?
It means that we do not tear our clothes and put ashes on our heads and walking around moping and complaining and griping. And we still, as God would say, put all on your head and you dress yourself up. You don't show the world that you're suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that it, or?
That's part of it.
We still show love, peace, and self-control and gentleness.
You thank the Lord through your trial.
Praise the child.
Well, when you glory in tribulation, and you glory God in tribulation, what you're doing is you're reflecting the face of God in your suffering. You're glorifying him. You are showing the fruit of the Spirit, which resides in you.
That's what I'm saying, Doug.
Yes.
Love, peace, self-control,
yes.
Gentleness.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's, when we're suffering, that's what we're supposed to do, is glorify God, reflect God.
Mm-hmm. What I thought was beautiful is this: after you have suffered sufficiently, Christ tests you.
Yes.
and passing the test. Now, we all must probably pass different tests.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to all have the same test because we're not going to all have the same suffering.
I think that what we have a problem is we measure our passing a test to our understanding. Do you really understand what I just said? About yourself. See, therefore, we want to measure ourselves, right, in our carnality.
Okay, so
remember, remember the scripture that says, don't you know yourselves that Christ dwells in you?
Okay, so what did Paul mean when we read here? It says, well, it says, here we are in Paul's second state of Christ. And
Christ.
He says, it is no longer I who do the deed,
yes,
but the sin which is at home in me and has possessed me.
Yes.
So if Christ is dealing with, so that's still quite, Christ is in us,
yes,
but we still have to die on that inner cross.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all talking about the outer flesh.
No, let's look at that. Let's look at this, okay? So, the inner, the Holy Spirit, Christ that dwells in us, okay? Christ is doing the work. You are not.
Yes. And that's what we have to stop. We're looking at ourselves.
Yes, we're looking at ourselves and our own ability, but Christ is bringing, and the Holy Spirit is bringing on the changes in. If we can say this, and this is in a lesson, that the Father and the Son are in us, and it leads us to salvation. Okay. That's spirit. Because Jesus says, no one can come into me unless the spirit of my Father draw him spiritually. That seed in him, the voice, the spirit that's in that man, draws that man to Christ.
You know, as the last of the paragraph says, it says, as you remain obedient to the word, you hear Christ speak to you.
Yes.
You will later be led out of darkness to light.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be obedient to the words that Christ speaks to you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As you remain obedient to the words you hear Christ speak to you, you will later be led out of darkness. Understand this, that the blindness of our minds, right, is the flesh and the carnality that we live in.
Yeah.
That's the darkness.
Yeah.
Now, when Christ comes in, okay, he's light.
Yeah.
Didn't Christ say God is light and in him there is no darkness at all?
Yeah. Exactly.
So if we're in Christ and God is in Christ, in him, there's no darkness at all. So where are we?
We're in light.
Thank you.
We're in light. Okay.
So we measure ourselves all the time carnally. We look most of the times we look at what we don't do right.
Mm-hmm.
But God doesn't look that way. He doesn't look that way towards us. Because why? I said that. When he looks at us, he's looking through his Son through us, and his Son, through his blood, has cleansed us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we have to understand a thing that even Jesus said to Peter. He said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. He said, but I pray for you that thy faith fail in thee not.
Yeah.
So, and then he tells Peter, he says, when you come back, strengthen the brother. He knew Peter was going to run. But how can, and people say that Peter was weak, but Jesus didn't say Peter was weak, did he?
No, he did.
How can something weak strengthen somebody else?
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus just simply knew the flesh that he lived in.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But he also knew what? The words that he put inside of Peter, too. And he also knew that Peter was in his hand
Yeah.
And could nobody or anything pluck him out of
him.
That's
right. Yeah. And he feels the same way about us.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I just sometimes have you just ask Lord, Lord, I just want to see my inside. I want to see my inner man. Because I know we get tired of looking at our flesh. We get tired of looking at our flesh.
Show us what you see.
Yeah. And we have to stop putting limitations on the Holy Spirit by our carnality.
Yeah.
About looking at our faults all the time.
Right.
No matter how bad your child may be, you would still provide for that child, wouldn't you?
That's true. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's true.
So how much more would God do that for us?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We're at...
Romans 17 is the same as the last paragraph.
Okay.
Said.
So Galatians 5:24.
Yeah. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires.
Okay, stop there. One word, look at it. Have.
Mm-hmm.
It is a will?
It says have done it.
Have.
Have.
Already.
Have. I have already done it.
Uh-oh.
Already done.
Uh-oh.
Already done.
Uh-oh, are we Christ today?
Yeah.
Okay. Have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust.
And lust, yeah.
Those who belong to Christ. Crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires.
Yeah.
Huh? Wow, this is beautiful. This is opening a new understanding.
Yes, it is.
Romans 6:6. Go ahead.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Oh, what? No, wait a minute.
Okay, all those adjectives.
Hold it. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him.
Yeah. That the body of sin might be destroyed.
Uh-huh.
And henceforth we should not serve sin.
Yeah. Focus on this. Now this, that our old man is crucified. Just think of that with him. Oh, man.
So you're saying that's already happened.
He is crucified. You're saying it's already.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is saying it's already. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Yeah.
Okay. The might and the should. That leaves the element of a possibility of it not happening. Because it says that the body of sin
might. You don't allow it to happen.
Okay.
In the sentence that explains it, it says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin."
That's right. Be slaves to sin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is powerful.
So, this is, what is this doing right now? It should be renewing your mind.
Yes, and freeing us even more.
This should be washing the old stuff out. Right now, this word of God, right now, washing by the water, by the word, washing the old things out. We should not, we are children of the resurrection, so we should be living to live, not living to die.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, by faith, I put that there, by faith, you have to understand that your old man is crucified with him.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not. Mm. It's up to you to accept it.
Yeah.
Keep going. So you would. So it says a way with that we should no longer be slaves to sin.
That's right. Okay. I think I was perplexed. Okay. So there's a difference. It says here in Romans, going back up to Romans 7:17.
Mm-hmm.
It says, now then, it is no more I that do it,
mm-hmm.
but sin that dwelleth in me. So there's a separation.
There it is.
Uh-huh. Oh,
the separation. The I is the spirit part. That's the I.
The spirit from the flesh.
Yes.
Wow.
That's the separation.
Wow.
All of us have that experience.
Wow.
But okay. You just don't pay attention.
Yes. Okay, I get it. I was going, okay.
Number four landed all right where you were going.
Yes, go ahead. Romans 8:9.
It says, but ye are not in the flesh, mm-hmm. but in the spirit. If so, be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit.
There it is.
If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ.
Mm-hmm. So?
Okay, well, why does it say in 1 John that about he who says that is without sin?
Say what?
Has no part in me. That one part in 1 John about he who says that he has no sin.
Oh, yeah, we can go to that. Oh. We can go to that scripture. But
that
scripture
is
self-explanatory to read down.
That's before Christ comes into you. That's what he's saying, that before you give your life to Christ, if you say that, you are without sin. That's because we were born into sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he's saying that if we say that we're without sin, because, you know, there are some people who feel that by their works they're doing wonderful things and they don't need to accept Christ in their life, but because they're this good person, they do these beautiful works and all of this different stuff. And he's just letting you know right then and there, your works and all of this stuff that you're doing is not counting. You have to accept Christ into your life to become that perfect person that God wants you to be, because you can't do it under your own esteem. Nothing that you do is good enough.
I think what we do is we focus, I think, too much on sin.
Oh, you know,
instead of righteousness.
Well,
before
well,
too much
don't we still make mistakes? Don't we still make mistakes?
Yes, I mean, we have to understand that. Just look what Paul said. Paul, that's self-explanatory right there. He said, now then, it is no more I that do it. Do what? Do the sin.
Mm-hmm.
But sin that dwelleth in me.
Yes. The sin,
not
us,
and
me,
does it. Well,
it's
separated. Yeah. The I and the sin is separated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's where we're a new creature, then.
Yeah, exactly.
And the old nature was crucified with him, with Christ.
Yeah.
So we have to start looking at and paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life.
Yeah.
So every time we do something that's kind of, shall I say, shady, I'm going to say that, right then and there, we are quick to go, oh my goodness, Lord, forgive me. Aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Because before we wouldn't think anything about it.
No, you just keep on doing it. Hey, it's good to me.
And then take it even to the next level, even.
Yeah. But now you're like, oh, man, I shouldn't even said that. Or,
oh, I shouldn't even be thinking
about it. You're rude a little bit, or you're short with somebody.
Yeah.
You're quick to say, you know what, I had a little bad day. Could you just forgive me for even saying that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have to remember, and just look at our fruit. Start looking at your fruit that God is putting in your life.
Yeah.
Start looking at the fruit. Okay.
Okay.
It's a beautiful.
Yeah.
Romans 8:10.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness.
What? The body is what?
Dead.
Okay. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin.
Yes.
But the spirit is life because of
righteousness.
So who brings on the righteousness?
Christ.
Christ.
Uh-huh. The spirit does.
The spirit, yeah.
Uh-huh. But the body doesn't.
No. Yeah, that's right.
Uh-oh. Your body doesn't bring on righteousness.
No, it's dead.
So we're going to read on that. This body will be glorified one day. It won't have a sinful nature anymore.
This body is going to disappear.
This body will be changed.
This
corruption will put on
incorruption. Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
So, therefore, it won't have this nature, this sinful nature anymore about it. And the Holy Spirit is bringing all those changes. It's just amazing. It's just amazing.
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. If Christ be in you,
the body is dead.
The body is dead because of sin.
Sin, yeah.
But the spirit is alive because of righteousness.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it says, but if Christ be in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. So your spirit is alive because of righteousness.
Yeah.
And that's the
what goes with righteousness?
The spirit is.
Yeah.
Your spirit is.
Your
spirit is alive because of righteousness, because Christ came in, and your spirit is one with God's spirit.
One with God.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
See, in that mystery, it was hit with God, right, through before the foundations of the world, he had an appointed time for that to be revealed.
Yes.
That Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
And so, it has this understanding frees a lot of people. And it makes you stop being codependent on another human being, right?
Yes.
And to be dependent on the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
To hear from the Holy Spirit, to be taught by the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Spirit.
This is quickening my spirit too, because I feel it working within me. That it's giving it something. Seriously, it's quickening it because it's giving me a more deeper understanding.
Yes. All that you are spiritually, you are a spiritual being.
A spiritual being. Yeah.
And your flesh, your body, is dead because of sin.
Yeah.
Just look at that. Look at that separation.
You know what? That and what brought to mind as they're being met is the look in Joel's and Tammy's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a look that it's hard to explain. You look at their bodies, and their bodies, they are emaciated, not emaciated where they look like, you know, they're sick or anything, but
mm-hmm.
what's in their eyes doesn't go along with what their bodies look like. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's a deeper, when you look in their eyes, it's...
their eyes are the window to the soul.
Yes. That's it. That is it. That is it.
Yes.
That is it. Yes.
The eyes are the window.
I was trying to find a definition of that look in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said that, that's exactly it.
Yes.
That's exactly it.
Yes.
Yes.
So this is great. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Christ, or Jesus, from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. There it is. Your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Isn't that powerful?
Yes, it is.
Great. Christ from the dead, raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. He's going to do it. But how? How is he going to do it?
By the Spirit.
Come on. The spirit that dwells in you, that's how he's going to do it.
Yeah, I said
by the spirit that dwells in you.
Yeah.
That's how he's going to quicken our mortal bodies. But what?
Did I have to say that dwells in us? Did I have to say that dwells in you or just the spirit?
No.
Because I said the spirit.
You did say the spirit.
I know she said the spirit.
But that's what I'm asking. Did I have to say the dwells in me?
Don't look about something on the outside that's going to quicken our mortal body. It's the spirit inside is going to quicken this mortal body.
So inside out.
So we kind of knew that, because that's what we've been talking about, is that the spirit inside us.
Inside us is going to do it.
I know that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, I'm sorry. I must be getting it late. I'm getting a delayed reaction.
Okay.
It's the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead lives in you. It's living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also live to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. Give life to your
life,
body
yes.
through
life
his spirit
body.
Who lives
in you. Praise God.
Titus 2:11-14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It has?
There we go. There it goes with the all again, that word all.
Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of
good
works.
Wow.
Well, he gave himself to do, say what? To redeem us.
To redeem us.
From all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous
of
good works. So who redeemed us from iniquity?
Christ Jesus.
You didn't do it, did you?
Nope.
So we have to stop looking at ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we didn't do it. He did it.
Stop trying to do it,
It says, for the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, that bringeth salvation as appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So, and then the paragraph below says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men and teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. How do you know that you are his child? Aren't you always eager to do what is good? Galatians 5:22-23. But if the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against us there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. All right, so then the bottom paragraph says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, sexual restraint. And may God help us all. More than I to do it.
Yeah.
Matthew 10:19
Yes, it's Christ that dwelleth in you that doeth these things. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:19-20 But when they deliver you up, take no thought how. What? Now, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak.
Yes.
So why do we worry? Why do we worry? Oh, no, what am I saying about this? Oh, what am I saying for this?
I'm
going to
say the right thing.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hi, darling. Hi.
Hey, what's up, girl?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Lord.
All right, you made it.
Yes, I did.
God is surely good.
Yes, he is.
We're on page 18.
Page 18.
Okay.
And I know, Tawana, you have prayed that prayer before when you someone call you and they want your help or your comfort.
Yes, she says all the time.
You always pray, Lord, give me the words. But here, what does it say?
He's going to give the words to me anyway.
Right. In the same hour, he will give you what to speak. That's what Jeremiah said as a child. He said, I can't even speak. The Lord said, don't worry about it. I'm going to give you the words to speak.
Yeah,
so then the Lord put his hand over his mouth and gave him the words.
Yeah.
So stop looking at ourselves. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the
world.
So why are we tripping on things that are on the outside?
Amen.
So, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Remember, after the day of Pentecost, and Peter was preaching, what did it say? And Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said. So what was speaking from him?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
When Stephen, when he was getting martyred,
that's right.
Being filled with the Holy Ghost, began to say this, and what happened?
Yes.
And it says, and their and their hearts were cut.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So every time you see the Holy Spirit, it goes right through the flesh.
Yes.
Right to your heart.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so. And it hits your inner being. Yeah, they were cut to the heart. So every time you speak, and the Holy Spirit, and you feel with the Holy Spirit, you're going to cut through some stuff. All right, it says, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about.
Do 20.
Huh?
Do 20.
20?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. For it is not ye that speak, there it is, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh
in you. For it's not you that speak. Oh, my goodness.
It's not you that speak. It's God that speaketh in you. Trust this. This is beautiful. Jonah, I'm going to put in these words. Jonah, go to Nineveh because I want to speak to those people.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to speak
goodness.
To the people. Through you, Jonah.
Yeah.
And I need your body.
Oh, my.
Because I want to speak to those people.